gentlemen, please be rising for the Pennymort House.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to the Pennymort House. We're sorry we've been away for a few weeks, but the Christmas period has been a tough one for us. It's with sadness and with a heavy heart that I bring to you some sad news. And it's that Jade, our friend, our colleague, our ally, has unfortunately had to leave us. She's, due to personal reasons, had to move on to pastures new, to greener grasses. And she'll be sorely, sorely missed.
She's gone off. Because she couldn't put up with any more knob gags. So she's gone to a higher brow, a better place.
Some would say there has been rumours online that she's under the patio.
Yeah, she could be. We've done a Fred. But anyway, but with every sad ending, there's a new beginning. And so we are delighted to welcome our new co-host, Oriel.
Good evening.
Yay!
Hello everyone.
So yeah, Oriel's decided to join us to try and keep a bit of order and
order and regularity to the
keep
whole
us
thing.
to keep Chris under control, especially That's when nice. He starts drinking his whiskey.
Whiskey and
Cali. Nice to be back.
So here we are.
I know we've had a bit of a bit of transition, a bit of transitional period to get ourselves in order.
We've been crying for weeks, but now we're over
sobbing.
We're sobbing
into our pillows.
But we'd like to thank Jade for all the contributions, and we do miss you.
She'll be sadly missed.
Sorely missed.
Tough, fuck off. So, we've got a new murderer.
Yeah, we've never done really two murderers in a row, have we?
Yeah.
So this is after Dennis.
I know, following on from Dennis, and we all like Dennis.
I warmed to Dennis.
So it's a tough act to follow, but we've dug
the
one
bathtub
up.
Seems to be the link.
Do you know what I think about this guy? I think he's a right shit, and I think he's a
That's not like you. You usually warm to him.
No, I know, but I think he's a shit because World War II was pretty grim. Right, wasn't
Someone
it?
Say.
Someone say it wasn't a good time, particularly not a good time to be a serial killer, or maybe it was a good time to be a serial killer. But you think, with everything else that's going on, people have got enough on the plate, haven't they, really, than being murdered as well as being bombed and being at war.
I'm inclined to disagree, though, because with a blackout and all that jazz, you know, it's dark, not just at night, all the time.
Good time for murderers.
Yeah, very good
time. For murderers, But a bad time to be a murderer if you're not a murderer person.
If you're a victim.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, it's Mr. John George here that we're looking at.
And do you know the other thing I think about him, why I think he's a bit of a bastard as well? It's because I think he's the first murderer who we've covered. And I might be wrong because I can't remember what happened last week. But I think he's the first murderer we've ever covered who's not done it for fun.
Yeah, he's done it financial gain.
Yeah, he's done it for lifestyle.
And he does try and twist it a little bit towards the end, but we'll get into that later on. John J. Hay, born July the 4th, 1909, in Stamford, Lincolnshire.
Right, Chris.
No, if you're going to ask me to do a Stamford, Lincolnshire accent, then it's not happening. Because I don't even know, how do they even speak in Lincolnshire?
It's Skeggers, isn't it? Skeggers. Yeah, it's up that neck of the woods.
I'd have just done a general...
I have no idea what the accent is.
Right.
General farmer accent.
But I don't think he would have had that anyway, because the family moved to Yorkshire. Now, I can do Yorkshire. We're eight. That's right, lads.
I know.
Which of
those? Lanoles.
Which those Noles are.
Lanoles. That's
very good. But I wasn't going to pull you up on that. I was going to pull you up on that. I've got it written down. He was born on the 24th of July.
Oh, I also have
maybe I missed the two out.
24th of July as well.
So there you go, listeners. Carrying on with
carrying on with the
accurate facts.
The fine facts. Stickler for facts.
Yeah, well, that's why they tune in. So, yeah, he was brought up in Yorkshire. And he had a great childhood, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Cracking. His dad worked out pits. His family. Well, I think this is a running theme, isn't it? With the majority of people that we look at. Maybe not so much with Fred and Rose, but that strict religious upbringing.
Shit childhoods.
Yeah.
Dennis had a shit childhood.
Yeah.
Fred and Rose had shit childhoods. Just God wasn't present as much.
No, they were just shagging each other.
But I think John's the most... like as the most
rigidly.
Strict
although
rigid,
he did
religious upbringing,
the religious group had quite a cool name.
What they called
the best of the Plymouth Brethren.
Yeah, the Plymouth Brethren
sounds nice.
I like that. I want to be in the Plymouth
what
Brethren.
Is a brethren?
It's like brotherhood, isn't it? It's like a collection.
Purist and anti-clerical. Weren't it you that was saying the other week that the whole premise of it was they go to war front without weaponry?
Yeah.
One
of the beliefs is, you know, they believe in that there should be law and order amongst community and amongst the civilization which they live in, but they don't believe in going to war.
Yes.
They'll go to war and they'll help everybody out, but no guns.
Ridiculous.
No guns. Which is fucking mental.
It's pointless going to a bloody brothel without any johnnies. Innit? Fate worse than death.
They could be like a human shield. You know, like they could,
Operation
they could be
human
like
shield.
Around there, like the real soldiers, and they get shot first, and then the enemy run out of bullets. And then they get to go to heaven, and so everyone's happy.
Oh, well, yeah.
Or alternatively, it's just a shit sect.
Just mass slaughter.
Yeah.
But
if you're not going to take a gun, don't go to war.
I know, yeah, just balls to it.
Well, priests go on all out time, don't they? Giving blessings and...
I think they were used just for drag out... injured.
Scottish regiment, where there's one bloke who has to play at bagpipes when they're going into battle...
Poor bastard.
Like,
brave
heart. Oh, yeah, it's true. It's true.
Don't think I've ever heard of that one.
They all have guns.
Do you know what I reckon?
And then they have one more.
Piss them aside off of the old fuck off home. I've had enough of this. Fuck off.
Well, yeah, you're not going to get very far with.
But they didn't have... entertainment was banned.
Yep.
The depths of the entertainment was stories from the Bible.
Oh,
we all like them, don't we?
No, so much fun.
The Old Testament is quite entertaining.
Is it?
Yeah, there's quite some good stories in it. The New Testament.
What's your favourite? Oh, do you not like, two?
The New Testament. No one likes a sequel. The Old Testament's good. There's like fire and brimstone and seas parting and all that business.
So what happens in two?
That's when... Jesus gets born. That's all about Jesus' life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but what's
New
the
Testament
there's
feet,
the,
Jesus.
There's the Samaritans and all that, isn't there? I remember that one.
The Samaritans.
Yeah,
what's the story about the Samaritans? Mm. Yeah.
Leprosy in two. Everyone likes a bit of leprosy.
Ooh, can't go wrong with a bit of leprosy.
No, but it's not like walking on water.
There's no magic
compared with
there's no magic
parting the Red Sea.
Well, yeah.
There's always that.
It's like it's been watered down. It's like they cut the budget on the
second
one.
No, yeah.
No CGI in the second one.
Imagine if you made a movie. It's shy, wouldn't it? The sequel to that would be rubbish.
And sports were banned as well.
Yeah.
No sports whatsoever.
I think you can tell from pictures with him, he's got quite a sallow...
He's got sad eyes.
Sallow face. Yeah, he does look very sad-faced and slightly like a... yellow tint to his skin.
Oh,
probably
because
he was banned from the... Yeah, probably. I don't know if the lack of sport contributed to that.
Well, and one of the saddest things was that his dad put a tall fence around
ten
the house.
Ten foot fence. That's no mean feat, that, foot fence.
And he put it up to keep the prying eyes out.
From the modern world.
And to keep out the social contact. I mean, it's just grim, isn't it? And you know what's going on behind them closed doors. Yeah. You can't say there's not a bit of the old feely uppy going on.
Oh, God, no.
Touchy, touchy, feely, feely, keep it in the family. That's what it's
And no Christmas.
No Christmas?
Which is
no
bit...
Christmas?
Yeah.
I thought that... Well,
they might have had Christmas in the sense of
it's
saying...
It's the big man's birthday.
Oh, yeah, and they might have said, well, there were no toys, there were no pudding, there were no getting pissed.
No Crimble dinner.
No dinner.
No Baileys.
No Brussels sprouts. No fuck all.
No Christmas tree.
Oh.
It's a shame, isn't it? Poor lad. I feel for him at this point.
Yeah. Well, this is it, you see. And this is why I always end up feeling sorry for all the serial killers, because whenever you read about the childhoods, they're always incredibly shit.
Yeah.
And then you
yeah.
think, is it any wonder they turned into a mass murderer?
He's got a crap life, and he can't go and play football with his mates.
Yeah.
Only entertainment he's got is a couple of Bible stories.
Yeah.
Bible under pillow.
I know.
But it's
no Christmas, so
no Christmas.
No toys and
no
all
toys.
That, like we said.
This...
His only mates were a couple of pets and his neighbour's
dog. Yeah,
yeah,
I had a neighbour's dog.
Yeah, so...
I like dogs.
Yeah, I do, but not that much.
But it's quite funny that they say that this miserable childhood sowed the seed... Not because it made him into, like, the need to kill,
yeah.
per se.
Mm.
But
it's the lifestyle that
it gave him the lust for a better life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wanted...
Well, that's it. His dad, his parents had kept him segregated from the modern world of fancy cars.
Yeah,
and
ultimately that's something he wanted to
cutting
embrace,
edge technology,
isn't it?
And then... When he does,
he wanted
into
that
it.
And then some, didn't he?
Yeah.
From
oh,
what I can gather.
But this is a good one. His dad, Alfred, had a blue blemish on his forehead.
Oh yeah,
oh, yeah. I've heard about that blue blemish.
You know what that is, don't you? It's a swastika tattoo.
Yeah.
But he told John that it was the mark of the devil, and as a result of his sinning as a child. Now his mum didn't have a blemish because she was an angel,
right.
And if he didn't want his sinful behaviour to be seen by the world, he should behave according to the Bible, and thus a blemish would not appear. And this like really scared John.
Yeah.
He was like terrified about, you know, doing anything bad
and
being shown. His dad must have given him a good hiding every now and again.
Oh God, yeah.
By the sounds of it.
Yeah, on that big wall.
But then
that was standard in the '40s. You were allowed to twat your kids.
You always got a good hiding, didn't you?
But then I think it was when he went to school that he soon realised, wait a minute.
Yeah, woke up and smelled the copper.
Yeah. He was being a bit naughty. You know, maybe one day, you know, he tied someone's shoelaces together, put a pin on someone's chair or something.
Yeah.
No blemish. Oh,
yeah.
So, and he started to think, well, fucking hell.
Yeah.
He's full of shit.
Yeah.
Old Alfred's full of shit. No blemish on my head.
Could get away without then, couldn't he?
Well, I think that's when he thought, like, maybe that he was, like, invincible.
He had an awakening.
Yeah, but he thought he was invincible. Because maybe even in that, he still believed, at that early stage. But
he was getting away with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. If
I can
get
away
with putting a pin on my mate's chair.
Yeah.
Well, if his dog's chair. He ain't got any mates, has he?
Yeah. Did I ever tell you about the time when I staple gunned someone at school?
No.
Yeah, it was in primary school, in top class. You know them wall staple guns that are flat?
Yeah. You can put them flush
against the wall. And
yeah.
Well, me and my friend were shooting each other across the classroom.
Yeah.
Like having a staple gun fight. And then it was all a bit rowdy. The teacher had gone somewhere doing something. And then it sort of died down a bit. And then I sort of sneaked under the... tables like army style and crawled along the floor, and he was sat in his chair and I crept up behind him and I put it flush on his arse. Did you?
Oh,
staple gunned him.
He squealed like
fucking
a
pig. Shot up.
See, the thing if you're shooting it, it's just
gonna yeah, it just it bounces off.
Did
it
proper
was,
go
yeah,
in?
Proper in his arse.
Sounded like a right little shit, you.
I had my moments.
Well,
did you get it out with a staple remover?
It just came out because it was like through his pants.
Oh,
so it like stapled his pants to his skin. So then just pulled his pants and it came out, but it was bleeding.
Jesus, wet.
Anyway.
Well, he became known as a mischief maker at school. So I probably got a couple of DTs or something.
Yeah.
Lined.
lines. But he left at 17. And it says here, starting an apprenticeship as a mortar engineer, which means a mechanic, I'm presuming.
Yeah.
A mortar engineer.
Mm. Right.
Okay. Well, that's quite a thing. It's like talking it up a bit, isn't it?
Yeah. Didn't last long. After a year, he left. And then I think he jumped in and out of jobs then, in insurance and advertising. But at 21, apparently, he was sacked after being suspected of stealing money. But nothing was ever proven.
Yeah. But this is where he starts to become a bit of a compulsive liar and a bit of a smooth talker.
I think it's during his time in insurance and advertising that he starts...
He's honed his skills.
He starts seeing the people with money and stuff and he's like... I can imagine him being a dick, mate.
I can. A very unlikable kind of guy. Or maybe not, actually. Like, maybe it comes across as dead likable at first.
Well, I think... he's a smooth operator. He's good with a gab.
And you've got to remember that back in, like, the 1930s and 40s, people were a lot more trustworthy. They believed, no one was as sceptical as they are.
I think a lot of people were distracted as well by the war, weren't they?
Yeah.
Got to think it was a massive war. Like, the war on the home front were just as big as on the actual war front, weren't it? So more people were probably more inclined to not, like, take as much notice as to, like, untoward activity.
Yeah.
If you had a trill bit...
He's a bit of a dick, sorry. That he's like, I don't know, he now he's seen that life of people with money and he wants it. Mm. And he like, schmoozes people and he lies to people about he's got business interests. He's, like, a complete bullshitter. If you saw him, he'd be one of them dickheads in a bar, right? A proper champagne Charlie.
Oh, gotcha.
Like, weekend millionaire.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Champagne lifestyle, limited wages.
Coming in, getting a bowl of champagne and a couple of glasses, sitting in corner. You know he's a fucking plumber.
Yeah.
He's a fucking plumber. He's just spent his week's wages trying to make an impression on a lot of dicks he doesn't even know.
That's definitely...
And that was John George A. sat in corner with champagne trying to convince everybody we're a big shot.
Yeah, but you see...
But we found you out, John. We found you out.
We smelt a rat with you.
Before the age of computers and Google, like, a sharp suit and a trilby and a nice briefcase went a long way, people thought, he must have a bit of something about him, you know, because most people was covered in shit. You know, coming out of factories and all that.
Yeah.
So his dad
was a pitman as well, weren't he? He didn't work down the pits. I think he was a foreman, so he made his way up a bit. Yeah. So he weren't, but still, he wanted more, didn't he?
Yeah, definitely.
I think by 1934, at the age of what, 25? Are we at 34?
Yeah.
I think so. He stopped attending. The church. I've had enough of this bullshit.
It's a miracle he's
not
got enough.
When's 3 coming out?
Been waiting a long time, son.
The second coming. That's not got a release date yet.
The Bible 3, the second coming. Available in the cinema near you.
Well, he got married though, didn't he? Then.
Oh, yeah. So, 1934 he would have been married. He got married to Beatrice Hammer.
Hammer?
Beatrice Hammer.
Hammer time.
Oh, what a great name.
She was described as a good time girl.
Oh,
which in
loose.
Slag.
Yeah.
Slag.
Dirty
she's loose.
Hammer you slag.
Oh, Beatrice.
But he barely knew her. But he got married after a few months.
Married her within a few months.
Silly cow.
She liked getting up rough.
See, I don't understand that. I mean, again, I know it was the history and old times, but how can you marry someone that you don't really know? Because you must know him well enough to sit down and plan a wedding.
You were probably more asked about getting his end away, weren't
he? Was it just like turn up on...
I don't think they had weddings like we do today, you know. There were no band on and... you know, getting your table arrangements right. I've waited for this day all my life.
No.
Fairy tale wedding.
It was like a done thing, weren't it?
Four weddings.
You still had to plan.
Don't tell the bride.
Yeah.
Don't tell the bride, I'm just...
Don't talk, right? What's your plan? Oh, we're going down in St. Elizabeth's and then in Legion for a buffet and a pint. What are you doing, Sam?
Oh, God.
Yeah, I don't get that. But anyway, he did get married.
He got married and...
He put his will in her. Made a baby.
Made a little wee bairn.
Well, yeah. They went and lived... After getting married, they didn't have their own house or anything, did they? They went and lived with the parents.
Yeah.
And how is that?
I find that a little bit odd.
How
well,
is
no,
that?
I don't, but back then that's not the dumb thing,
yeah.
Is it? Maybe it is nowadays, but you've got to see it as like...
Well,
you've
got to save up for a deposit now on a house.
I know.
But why the fuck would you want to go and live with your fucking mum and dad? Or not any old mum and dad, like Looney Tune Plymouth Brethren mum and dad. I mean, come on. It's not like you can be... getting up too much, is it, in that household? There's no telly on, there's no background noise to cover your grunts.
No sunlight, because I've got a 10-foot wall in the garden.
I bet his grass were a mess.
I know.
Never mind patchy grass, he can't have a shag.
Well, he obviously did.
Because he impregnated
him. Do you know when he did it, didn't you? When mum and dad had gone off to Sunday service.
Oh, yeah. Come on, quick, get knickers off.
Get your petticoat off.
Yeah.
I wonder if he knew how to do it, though. Can you imagine that first sexual encounter between the son of the Plymouth Brethren and Beatrice Hammer?
But it is awkward in them situations. Well, mind you, she's a bit loose, isn't she?
Oh, yeah, well, she's a bit
loose.
She
might have taught him
the
way.
She's a fun
thing,
girl, yeah.
She taught him a thing or two.
Yeah.
I was reading a book once, and it was... I don't read many. And it was about someone's experience of having sex back in the 1940s for the first time, and the only thing he knew was that he'd been told he had to lie across a woman. So
like a pencil.
He got with his girlfriend, and he decided they were going to have it off. And he said, and I was dead excited, but I didn't know like what to do. And he said, but like, and when it come to it, and by lie across, he meant.
Like, literally across.
Across her, so they made, like, a crucifix shape.
That is fantastic.
You don't get that on Pornhub.
Yeah, see? I mean, there's no innocence
that's
these days,
niche,
is there?
That's a niche. There'll be loads of 80-year-old guys wanting to revisit their...
Revisit the you.
By the time you're 12, you've seen anal and everything.
You're a spanner.
Go on, like lie across me, will you?
So you see, I mean, you can imagine that it must have been difficult for young John.
Well, no, it is. This is when he gets into his it's his first step into a life of crime.
Yes.
All right.
Because this is like we've said, he doesn't want to follow the path of his father, and he's tried a few jobs, hasn't he? And it's not working out for him. He's in and out of jobs, like in and out of jobs, like.
He worked at a. He had a friend who ran an amusement park.
Like somebody with a poor work ethic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really, yeah. And he worked at an amusement
park. Cocking
an
old ass.
Oh, dear
me.
That's
extra.
Is that what you were waiting for?
Go on, where did he work?
He worked at an amusement park run by a Mr. William Donald Max Swan.
Ooh.
Bit of a long-winded name, I think, as well.
Oh, but before he met him,
right.
he got sentenced to 15 months.
Oh, did he?
Because he was selling...
for fraudulent practices.
See, I don't know how this works, because he was selling cards that didn't exist.
Right.
Oh, no. Well, how it works is, again, pre-internet and things like that, you just write people a letter saying, I've got this really nice card.
Would you like to buy it?
And he's
put a picture of it in.
Right.
And then you do... a proper picture, but then there's like a bit of correspondence by a letter and maybe a phone call.
Oh, then they send a cheque.
And then they send a cheque and you say, I'll deliver the car on this date. And people were so trusting. And then the car just never got delivered.
No.
And he just fucked off with the money. But he didn't fuck off very far because he
caught him.
Yeah, they caught him, didn't they?
And that's when his wife then left him. Whilst he got sentenced to, well, you can imagine the shame that must have put on the family, you know, at the Brefnell.
Yeah.
Where's your John? Where's your John? Oh, he's gone away for a few months. He's gone away.
They hadn't invented sabbaticals. So he couldn't go on one of them.
But
couldn't go on a gap year.
Bethel weren't having it. Beatrice weren't having it either. She fucked off.
Who's Bethel?
A bit upside. She fucked. She was pregnant. Does he ever see this kid? I don't think he
once,
ever
does. No,
anything.
He doesn't.
Once.
Yeah, he said he only saw her once more briefly to lie by telling her that they were never officially wed because he already had a wife at the time. I don't
know. He's a lying shit, isn't he? He's a proper lying shit.
He's just a bastard, isn't he?
So I think Beatrice Hammer had a lucky escape, really, didn't she? To get away,
I would say so, yeah.
But he was released in 1939 and tried a few other businesses. I think he had a dry cleaning service and
Well, do you know what? We had a bit of an oversight here because me and Oriel were talking before, and you can never trust a man who models his image on Hitler.
No.
Because when you look at him, he's got you know, he's the tash. On some photographs, it's a full tash, but on some photographs, it's a it's a little short under the nose. He wants.
And during the war, I imagine that were a bit of a touchy subject.
Yeah,
It's like going for a Kim Jong-un now, isn't it? Cuban eels.
Oh, I love Kim Jong-un. I love him. He's a constant source of amusement. I know he's a very bad man.
You like a bit of cheese, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I don't mind it, yeah.
You and Kim Jong-un, you'd be
tight.
Two
tight.
Peas in a pod.
Oh, we go way back, you know.
Yeah. But yeah, so if you're going to look like Hitler, particularly during the war years, you're not right.
You're going to be a bad bastard, aren't you? Let's face it. You know, you're going to be a bit of a wrong'un.
Rogue.
A rogue.
Not quite so lovable, though.
So then what happened? The baby got given up for adoption.
Yeah, that's right.
To which
yeah.
the parents were horrified. They had nothing. Yeah, they'd like abandoned
well,
the old.
Well, ready for the first seed
child.
To produce.
I tell
to
you
blossom.
What, that baby had a very lucky escape.
Did yeah.
If the bloody brethren had got
could
hold
have ended
of
up
it,
with grandparents.
We're going to end up with another John in 20 years' time.
I know. Yeah. Jesus.
Such a body for a blemish.
Behind the massive 10-foot fence.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All its mates barking.
Crying into bloody his Bible.
So in 1936, released from prison after his 15-month stint on porridge, moves to London. Moves to the Big Smoke, seeking his fame and fortune.
The streets
going
are
with the money
paved with gold.
Paved
but
with,
also,
paved with bombing
quite blown up as well. Yeah, you know, like, a bit bomby as well.
Yeah. Yeah, funny place too.
Yeah. The Blitz.
It was the Big Smoke.
I know, it really
it's
was.
Still the big city, isn't it?
So he moves to London, gets a job with, as you were saying, if you
want. Oh, Mr. William MacDonald Maxwell.
MacDonald Max.
That's just showing off.
Yeah, it really is. That's taking double barrel.
MacDonald Maxwell. His family owned amusement parks, didn't they?
Yeah. And and John briefly worked for them, posing as an engineer fixing these amusement park rides.
Right. When it's amusement, is it like slot machines?
And I think they might have had some fairground rides back then, like carousel horses.
Oh.
Don't think they had
that's
the big nice. One.
Teacups.
No, quite on the big one level, but...
If you like them things that go round and round, go to Southport.
Oh, yeah.
There's a very nice one at the end of the
pier. There we go. There you go, listeners. We do travel tips as well.
Southport's just outside London, a short drive.
We're a very cultured bunch, as you can tell.
So he's working for William McSwan, owners of the amusement park.
It doesn't last long there, really, does it?
No,
but I think it's definitely we'll come back to them.
Well,
we'll come back to
I think at this,
it's
at
worth
this
mentioning
point,
that he gets on very well.
He gets on very well with the McSwans, and I think he idolises the lifestyle.
Yeah,
not definitely. Not only do they have the amusement parks, I think they own a portfolio of property.
Nice property.
And he eventually gets pushed up the ladder, don't he? And he ends up being William's chauffeur. So he's taking William round, collecting the rent, you know, taking him to
so
these different properties.
So he's clocking all these
all
rich folk.
Yeah, all his
and
cash.
And he's liking what he sees.
Well, and I think that's like another when a switch goes again that I want this.
It's the next level up, isn't it? It's like he's gone from fuck all to sort of
he's gone to
mediocre,
a bit of brute. He wants Cristal now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't understand that reference. The only brute I know is like aftershave.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he was going to say it's gone from Brute to Old Spice to Chanel number one.
Yeah, they were very sad to see him go when he decided he wanted glittering prizes elsewhere.
Ooh. So he turned his back, turned his hand to what he know, what he was good at.
Yeah.
Bit of fraud.
Fraud.
Loves a bit of fraud.
Loves a bit of fraud. He opened 3 solicitors' offices across London, selling cut price stock that didn't exist. He's good at selling stuff that doesn't exist.
I might look into it, mate. Get on skin.
Get on eBay.
Yeah. I know, get on
sell
eBay.
In the office.
I'll just take a picture of a space.
Just take a picture of a Jag and then just never sell it and fuck off with the money.
Look for John for a bit. Sorry, what that was it. He only got caught. He was doing quite well with his fake stock selling.
Yeah.
He started making the money. The money's rolling in. But then he spelled Guildford wrong on one of his receipts.
Dickhead.
What a tit.
And some bloke thought, well, hold on, this is supposed to be a solicitor.
Yeah,
and he's just spelled
Guildford,
the town where his office is wrong.
Yeah, something amiss there, isn't there, if he's doing that.
Again, it's quite old school, isn't it? You know, like, because can you imagine ringing up 999 and saying, excuse me, officer, I'd like you to investigate
a misspelled
receipt. And I think it could be leading on to something larger.
Much more sinister.
And you think, well...
Oh, we'll send 5 of our finest officers over immediately, sir.
Oh, it was a different time. It was a gentler time.
It was
time.
A different world, yeah. It certainly was going to be a different world after he'd done.
But he got sentenced again, 4 years in prison. Back on porridge for our John.
Yeah.
Do you think they bombed in prison back then, like bloke on bloke? Or were it again a different world in the prisons then?
I'd like to think so.
Because I'm thinking maybe that contributed to why you were a bit of a sicko.
Dry bum.
Yeah.
No wrong with it.
Retract.
There's always been bumming.
Yeah. Throughout time.
Yeah, it's just one of them things, isn't it?
Mm. Whether or not it's consensual.
Well,
I doubt it. But it said that it's during this stint in prison where this is where he gets his
prison is like school for bad people.
he was quoted as saying that it was at this time that he was speaking to other fraudsters in the nick.
Oh, good use of terminology.
Yes,
Chris.
See, I'm off the streets, me. Wide boy.
I know, you could be working for the Craze this time next week.
Hey, they liked a bit of bumming as well, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
One of them.
Did they?
One of them were a massive gayer.
Oh, right, I did not know that. Were one of them not piping Christine Keeler?
One of them
Profumo Fergo. Yeah. Do you know which one I mean? One of them not shagging her?
One of them was very,
very gay.
Very gay. One was very not
gay. Aye, you're right. That's pretty much how it went.
One of them played bass, and I think one of them played lead guitar.
Really?
No, that's the case.
They did play the Craze, though. That's probably
a
reference.
That's why I said
it's
Christopher.
Yeah, sorry.
Jesus Christ.
Aye, yeah. But yeah, he while he's in prison, he gets his education, doesn't he?
He does.
In crime.
One of the
slightly worrying that you're allowed to do this in prison, melt mice with sulfuric acid.
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to get to that because he spoke to other fraudsters and stuff in prison. And they were like, oh, the thing that you've got to do is you've got to get rid of the weakest link in any crime, anything that's going to give you up. And in fraud, the weakest link is a victim.
Yep.
So if you can get rid of the victim, you're going to get away with it.
Uh-huh.
And it was then that he read, at the time he was in prison, there was a high-profile murder in France.
Yeah,
with France. Giorgio...
Armani or...
George... Who in 1931 dissolved 2 bodies in sulfuric acid to claim the insurance money. money.
Oh, so,
John, yeah.
He was inspired, wasn't he?
With the light bulb. Bing!
Imagine that, though, going back to the melting mouth situation. Imagine if you had a visitor light one week. Oh, so what did you get up to at weekend, John? Well, you know, just had me dinner and then, you know, just melted some mice and some sulfuric acid. No.
Timed it.
Well, they got him thinking. He absolutely started planning his crime that he was going to rip people off and then
melt them
in sulfuric acid. And he started giving people tobacco who were on day release to get him mice. Yeah. And then he also used to get sulfuric. I don't. What did they need sulfuric acid for in prison?
I don't know. They must have had an engineering shop. You know, like, they have to do things to keep them entertained.
So, like you said, he used to get people getting field mice and then put them in sulfuric acid and time.
He used to time the length, the volume of acid, and the length of time it took to dissolve the mouse, and then he sort of
to work it out.
Worked out a rough. Time,
a rough gauge,
volume to body ratio thing.
So I like to scale this.
If any of the listeners are interested, though, it's 30 seconds for a mouse.
Is it?
So, you know, if you're bored at weekend, if you're a loose end because it's January,
it's quite easy to get sulfuric acid.
Is it?
Yeah.
Or makers on Tonmore Road.
Yeah. Just go and buy it.
I remember, actually, there are skip near... No, I'm not joking. There are skip near...
I'm looking for me tea.
There are skip near old makers. I must have been about 15 because I used to live up that neck of the woods. And there was a book in this skip on how to make a bomb. Like, that's no word of a lie, yeah. I don't know if sulfuric acid were in the mix, but it probably relates to it, doesn't it?
Yeah,
probably.
Excellent.
Yeah. So why do they sell sulfuric acid for home makers? Breakers, whatever it's called.
Well, it's used for, well, I don't know what home makers is. It's an DIY shop.
Yeah, it's sells all sorts from mobility scooters to vanish.
It's used in all sorts of applications in the engineering world.
Yeah, to be fair though, there's a lot of like engineering works near that shop.
Up
the neck of the woods. So I reckon that's why. Yeah.
And I don't really know a lot about sulfuric.
No, I don't really.
Other than it's
bad stuff.
Horrible, yeah.
Burns you. Yeah. Turns you into a sludge.
Right. So, it's while he's in prison doing all his boning up for his murders, doing his homework. He comes across in the library, he's reading up on his legal things, like, because he really wants to get rid of the body. But
yeah. So he's doing a bit of groundwork.
Yeah. And he comes across.
Sussing it out.
What is in Latin, corpus delicti.
Ooh.
Which John incorrectly translates, and he thinks it means that if there's no body, there can be no prosecution.
There's no evidence.
Because there's no evidence. But what it actually means is something different. It means that you need a body of evidence to convict somebody. So he's taking it literally to mean no body.
No body, no evidence, no conviction.
Yeah.
And whereas, that's when he's then a light bulb once again pings his nose and he's thinking, them mice I did over at weekend. I can do that with bodies.
You can't do that. They can't have me for them mice. They can't have me for anyone.
People, I'm gonna start melting the bodies and then I can't ever get done. So even if they know that the people have gone missing, there's no sign of them, and they suspect that I've murdered them. If they can't find them, scot free.
So he sets up his plan now.
He's got the plan.
This is where we're getting into the gloop, literally.
I know.
The gloop.
Quite literally.
His plan is to rip people off, get a bath of sulfuric acid, chuck them in, body goes. Get rid of sludge.
Be down drain.
That's it. Yeah. Scot free.
Happy days.
Skip into the bank.
So on release, he sets his plan into action.
Yeah.
Rents a little office, does he?
Before that, he gets out of prison and he goes staying with a family. I don't know if they're like a halfway house or if they're like, they're set up to help offenders who are coming out of prison
to
get back on the feet. And it's the Stephen family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's here he begins a close friendship, bit of fingering probably.
Yeah, starting off with a bit of finger blast.
Secret shagging.
Barbara, who's 20 years younger than him.
He's doing all right for himself.
Dale Babs, eh?
Yeah.
Dirty bitch.
So, he's an experienced lover now. He's had sex once,
yeah,
remember?
At least. Andy's had his prison action.
Yeah.
I bet first time's not.
No.
First time out. I bet it's still a bit. There's a lot with that experience, but. You know, I didn't take a touch.
Oh yeah, it wouldn't last more than 10 seconds. Yeah, so he gets out, and then Barbara's quite besotted with him, and she wants to become the next Mrs. Hay.
Well, that's the thing. He's still got his charm.
He's got his charm.
He's a
charmer. That's probably the biggest contributor to how it was partially successful at first. This onslaught.
Yeah.
Well, he has a car crash.
Oh yeah, I've
he's banged his head, hasn't
he?
He suffered a wound to the head, which
they always bang their head, these killers.
Which bled into his mouth.
Oh,
this is where he comes, like, because he's a bit of a liar. Later on, when he's been arrested, he blames his car crash as
a contributing factor,
because he says when he was a little boy, he used to have nightmares where he used to see trees that turn
like
into crucifixes
crosses.
And blood would drip out.
It's not really fucking a surprise, that, is it? Like, I had dreams about fucking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I knew you were going to say that!
And stuff, because that's what I want. But if all you've fucking been drummed into you,
yeah,
is fucking in God, Jesus, cross, blasphemy, virgins having kids and blemishes, that's what you're going to fucking dream about.
Of course you're
going
to dream it.
So he says that when he has this car crash in 1944, he claims this reawoke these scary, blood-filled, bloodlust
It preempted the crimes that were about to take place.
Well, that's just bollocks, really.
Yeah, it's a lot of crap.
Although it might be true, because he might have actually been a vampire. And let's not dismiss this just yet.
Maybe the bleeding into his mouth from the cut from the crash. Maybe that. Maybe he got the taste for it.
See, all you sceptics out there think he's just a, you know, money lusting for the wealth and the riches, where in actual fact he's just a misunderstood vampire. And he's not even shiny like them shitty modern ones. Although his hair is quite well brill creamed.
I was just going to say.
So,
never seen a vampire with a tash though?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe. Write in, listeners, if you come across a vampire with a tash. So, he sets himself up because he's got his plan, and he gets his basement space.
Yeah, gets his hot tubs ready.
Yeah.
Hot tubs.
And this is where he's going to do his victim melting.
This is at 79 Gloucester Road. Yeah.
This is it. This is the first one.
A grim death trap.
So he's hired this building. I don't know what's he even doing for a living now, because he must be paying for renting this.
Well, I don't know, he must have a few quid.
Just schmoozing about.
Yeah.
Doing a bit of wheeling and dealing. I can imagine he's a bit like
a few ill-gotten gains from before.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's trying to get himself set up in his.
Probably
got
a bit of compo from that car crash, didn't he?
Yeah, maybe.
Where there's a claim.
Whiplash. Bit of whiplash.
Bit of whiplash bleeding into the mouth.
Ambulance chasers.
I bled in my mouth. I can't face getting in the car again.
I know. I can still taste it.
I need 15 grand for a chauffeur.
Yeah. So it's quite... He's a lot of looking around, because you can't just sort of rob rich people or fraud them. You've got to get to know them, haven't
you? Yeah,
you've got to find...
He's being clever about it. He's got to find the perfect victim, hasn't he? Yeah. He's not going to be straight in with first bloody... cash flasher that he comes across.
Yeah. And I suppose, like, people are probably a bit, you know, it's still, you know, there's a war in sort of full swing, and it's still all a bit grim and everything. And it's pure luck, really, that he bumps into his old mate and employer, Mr. McTavish McSwan
McNovin McNee McNew
McNov
McSwan.
Yeah, old Swanny.
Old Swanny!
Hey!
How we doing, Swanny lad?
Down the goat pub in
Down
Kensington.
In
oh, doesn't sound like a flashy establishment.
I know, you know.
No, it sounds like a place. Old Spunk is a proper. Probably was.
The goat pub. So
I think he goes back and meets Swanee's mum and dad again, who he struck up a relationship during his working
reading
time.
That, I just found that a bit weird. Like, I just met up with an old mate in pub. Right, do you want to come and see me mum and dad?
Yeah.
Like, I just don't get that. Like, I wouldn't do that if I bumped
into
someone.
I don't know, because he's one of these, and I imagine they're business owners, so to speak. And then he sees him and he's like, oh, how are you doing? Not seeing you. And he bullshits him about these business opportunities that he's got. Property investment. Oh, right. Oh, you'll have to come and see mum and dad again. We're looking for a bit of property at the minute.
He's doing his groundwork.
They're all quite pally before, weren't they?
Yeah. And I reckon he's very good at manipulating people, and he's looking for people.
It all goes back to that charm thing.
Yeah,
it all goes back to that.
Yeah, so he gets in there, he gets well in, and he gets some information out of McSwanee saying, "Oh yeah, we've invested in property. We're doing really well. The arcades are booming. Yeah. We've got a good portfolio." And really, fucking McSwanee had just kept his gob shut and said,
bragging.
So showing off.
Yeah.
He might have survived this because it were all his showing off what sealed his fate.
Yeah.
Might have been saved from a gob melting.
So what happened? He said, you've got to come and.
He decides, doesn't he? Yeah. McSwanee and the family are going to get it.
Yeah.
That's it, planning action.
That's
gets
it.
His bins.
You've got to come down. You've got to come down to my workshop. I've got something really good to show you. It's
one of my latest inventions.
Yeah, it's an engineering opportunity.
He tells him he's got a couple of pinball machines as well, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He wants
just gives him a load of bullshit.
Come down, I've got latest one. Das Boot.
John Hay, the pinball wizard.
Can you come down into this dank, musty cellar?
No, you.
Oh no, we've no lights. No lights.
So what happens when he gets down there, old Swanee?
Twats him over the head, doesn't he?
Yes.
With a blunt instrument.
Good old blunt instrument. They never say what the blunt instrument is.
No.
I'd like to think it was a brick.
Yeah. I think a rolling pin would be a good one.
A rolling pin.
Just one blast and like a puff of flour.
You're just making a bloody black pudding, you.
I know.
Got my flour, got my blood.
A good dildo would be a good one.
Yeah, big black dildo.
Take a couple of hits because we've got a bit.
Sure, there's a case where someone's been beaten to death with a dildo.
Got a bit of movement in them, haven't they?
Like a black mamba.
Unless you use battery end.
Oh, just gonna say battery case end.
Ball sack. Quite blunt, isn't it?
Yeah.
You could get a good grip, just another rib.
You could swallow the head and then shove it down throat, make sure. Balls deep.
Yeah.
They melted the full body, but not the dildo.
You've thought that one through, haven't you?
I know.
He slit his throat as well. So he wrote in his diary that after he'd hit him over the head with the blunt instrument to kill him, then he slit his throat because he wanted some blood. To drink.
You see, this is the bullshit again. Because this all comes out with after he's been arrested, hasn't it?
Yeah, like a scapegoat.
Yeah,
like
and he's trying to play the insanity card.
Yeah.
But he wrote it in his diary at the time.
Oh, did yeah.
You see, but he might have been...
That might have been pre-planned.
Because he's been reading... He thinks he's a right smarter pants at the minute, doesn't he? Because he's been reading these legal books.
And he wants to... Yeah, and he's going to try and play the insanity card
just
as well.
Just in case, backstop.
If he gets caught.
No, in case all the evidence isn't melted away.
Yeah. So, twats him over head, and then slits his throat.
Drinks his blood,
and then he thinks, right, got to do me... great body of evidence trick now. So, and did we say he's called the acid bath murderer? I don't think
that's the modern day.
Yeah, because at the time they called him the vampire.
Yeah, because I think then though people they were more prone to believe in fantasy and stuff because the war were depressing and they thought we need something to get our teeth into.
Hey! There we go, you found the right level. So he got a 40. It's doing a bit of a disservice to baths, this. Well,
because it's just an oil drum.
Because this is a 40-gallon barrel. Anyway, that's probably not
he's
important.
He's back in there. That's probably the best bath you've got. They're all out in backyard.
Tin bath.
Once yeah. a week.
So he lobs him in a barrel in his underground lair, and he fills it with
he fills it with acid, he goes to the record player, doesn't he?
Oh, I don't know.
He goes to the record player, and he I think I've got the track that he plays whilst he's doing it.
And he used to play this in the background, apparently, and he used to
have a little
sing along.
It lightens the mood.
Yeah. Whilst he got him in there, put a shower cap on him.
He gave him
a bit of mate.
We're going to get fucked by Sesame Street when they find out.
Another entry in his diary said, I sipped my blood whilst listening to a rendition of Splish Splash. I'm having a bath. Anyway.
So, yeah, he loves
that's
him.
That's true, that. Fact.
Yeah, fact. Another fact brought to you by the Penny Mortar.
We don't talk shit up here.
So, but before he puts the body in, but then before he puts the acid in, he has to get on his acid gear. And like, that's
his acid gear, yeah.
He's got like
I think this is genuinely kinky.
Like a
I
proper,
do. No, I do. Like, gas mask.
A full, like a boiler suit on, and then a white coat, and then
A plastic apron.
Yeah.
Plastic apron, oh. Easy
full
bite.
Plastic. Butcher's type apron. Oh, we love the feel of it. And then he had elbow length rubber gloves. And a gas mask from the wall.
Oh, that kind of puts me off a little bit.
Well,
and
the
foot pump I read as well. Just for good measure, you know.
So then he
looks
like
so we look the part.
Oh, he looked like a right fucking nut job. You won't want that looming over you at the end of the bed if you wake up in the middle of the night.
When Jehovah's Witness knocked on door. That opened.
When you want. I'm a bit busy.
You don't need to tell me about Jesus, lad. Burn it all. With the fucking blemishes and everything. Fuck off.
Yeah, so he's got all his gear on and he puts the acid in. It takes quite a lot of acid. I think he uses 40 gallons.
40 gallons.
So he fills
shit.
Up drum.
Yeah.
Although, can't be 40 gallons because it's a 40 gallon drum and it's got a body.
Well, more or less.
I'm just saying.
Twat. And then he submerges the body, and then even though he's got his gear on, he still gets a bit.
A bit overwhelmed
by the fumes.
Gets a bit heady and he's a bit, I've got to get out.
Acid out.
So he just chucks a bit of a cover over the drum and
puts it
off.
To bed.
Yeah, he's.
So what do you just put lid on and leaves it? Just
puts lid on and leaves it.
Leaves it to ferment in its own juices for 24 hours. Get a real aroma.
All right, Jamie.
Like a rich casserole.
It's almost like he's making a really shit chili con carne.
We know all about that.
So he goes home, and then again he sort of makes a little note in his diary about it leads him to have these blood-filled nightmares and... Ooh.
Bollocks! Bollocks!
He's a tortured soul, lad.
He is.
He's a tortured soul. He's had a shit upbringing. His
tell
mates
that to
are dogs.
Drunk.
Yeah.
I can't get over the dog friends thing. What a lonely guy.
So he has a bit of a rough night with his nightmares, and then the next morning he's up and at him. Ooh, let's go and have a look. Let's see
the big reveal.
So he's got his notepad with his mice to acid ratio.
Right, so he's worked it all out.
So now he's got his human to acid ratio, and he's got to go and check if it's worked.
Right.
Has he scaled it up right? So he goes back and he finds mostly liquid with a few lumps.
Oh, to get spooning.
Well, no, what he does is he just tips it down a drain.
Oh, you lazy bastard.
And then
we always know he's not going to work ethic, though, aren't we? Because
honest and living. Yeah. Do not come under his. Do not come into his vocabulary, yeah, do
he? He tips it all down the drain, including all the lumps, and then that's it.
Doggy pig.
Now he says he's got this feeling of euphoria comes over him.
Because he's done it. He's
done it. Yeah. He killed him. He's got rid of the body.
Well done, John.
And
give yourself a pat on the back. Take your gloves off.
He really believes he's, he's got his corpus delicti nailed. Yes. I like to nail my corpus delicti.
Corpus delicious.
Every weekend. So, he... he follows up now by getting in touch with his Mr. McSwanny's mum and dad. Because he's got to come up with a cover story. Where has he gone, John McSwanny?
What's he done?
Where has he gone? And because, I mean, it's good, really, like I say, because of the war, he said, conscription, they were going to send him out to the front lines.
So he's
ran away to Scotland.
Gone to Scotland, man! Bonnie Scotland! We're going up there! They were playing the bagpipes.
Yeah, he's bogged off up to the Highlands. And he goes to quite some trouble because he sends fake postcards to him. And he even goes all the way to Scotland to send the postcards. Then they've got their nice postmarks.
He's putting the effort in, isn't he?
He's one dedicated guy. Yeah. Dedicated to the cause.
Dedicated to the cause, indeed.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's no mean feat going up to Scotland. I mean, did he have a car or did he...
I don't know. I don't know if he had a car, if he went by train or...
Probably he got one.
Yeah,
he got him one of his imaginary efforts that he tried selling a few years ago.
He probably drove off in John McSwanny's car, didn't he? I'll just have that. He's not
probably
here.
Probably did, to be fair.
Yeah. So he sent the postcards and he created a completely believable web of lies for the family. They totally bought it, and the McSwan parents really believed in John. They thought he was a stand-up guy. He was the middleman between them and the son, and he was looking after all Mr. McSwanny's business while he was out of the picture. What a stand-up guy. What a great guy.
What a good guy.
What a pillar of society.
Mm.
And so... I don't know, I think that's...
So you went bathroom?
That's sort of where we're up to.
Is that it? Is that where we're taking it to? To the point where he's going to be... Well, he's got to see through his plan, hasn't he?
Well, he's got one murder out of the way, and now he's making a nice little number, filling in for John.
Yeah.
No, not John, he's John. Filling in William, for McSwan.
William McSwan.
While Swanny's off in the islands, allegedly.
When he's swanned off.
Yeah, he's swanning about. Yeah. He's...
couldn't see from up there.
Yeah,
he's got blue swan necking.
I've not got any more. Only the Queen can eat swan.
Hey! Yeah, we'll leave it at that.
And, so he's making an alright living. It's not enough, is it?
Nope.
It's never enough.
He's always aspiring for more, this guy, isn't he?
It's never enough.
It's been good getting to know John.
Yeah.
I think he's proved that he's willing to take a few risks to get what he wants.
Yeah. So we don't know what's going to happen in the next episode.
No.
It might just be that John now leads the life of a rent collector
for
the next 50 years.
I'll tell you what's going to happen. It's going to fucking kick off big time. There's going to be bodies and gloop and shit and all that.
Heads are going to roll.
Heads are going to boil. Hey! Bunny boilers.
Yeah.
So that's it for
the first installment
of John George Hay, the acid bath killer, the vampire of the day.
the vampire of blood.
The acid vampire.
The acid vampire.
Christ.
That's a much better nickname.
The acid vampire.
Come up with that?
Yeah.
Bloody it. Yeah, so here we are, we're back.
The bubble bath killer.
We're back in 2015.
Yes.
And we'll have lots of new
episodes.
Sorry
again for the delay, but we're back in the swing
now.
Have you enjoyed it, Oriel?
Very much so. The pleasure's all mine, really. Yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully Oriel will stick with us and not get bored after 10 episodes. And hate us. Hopefully we won't drive her away.
No, the talk of knobs might just tip me over the edge.
Yeah, we've gone quite gentle on the knob gags today. We might get a... Might
our knobs are soft.
Shut up, so.
Well, I do get excited talking about murderers.
We've been the Penny More Toast once again. Thank you for joining
us. Yeah, get in contact with us.
Good evening.
Gmail and all that.
Facebook.
At Penny More Toast Facebook. At Penny More Toast Twitter, sorry. Facebook. You can get us at Gmail and all that jazz.
Yeah, and just a thanks to Faye for her email. We haven't responded to it just yet, but at least we're saying thanks. So.
What does she say?
She says that this is a terrible podcast, and please can we shut the fuck up? But if we can we do Peter Sutcliffe and Stephen Griffin's potential episodes? Yeah,
I think Sutcliffe's a definite one. Is the crossbow, is he not a bit too, how long ago with that?
I don't know.
I think there's still a few raw nerves there. They might be like...
Yeah, that's like robot territory.
Yeah, it is.
Well, it's about 5 Morty, years ago, I think.
Morty, I brought you some chicken, lad.
But, yeah, we're definitely going to do the Ripper. He's going to be one of the big guys.
That's
going to
be
guys.
That could even be a triple
threat
match.
That really is
match.
Such a long-winded story.
He loved them ladies.
Oh, he did. Them girls.
So, right. Yeah, thanks, Faye, for your email. That's great.
God loves
keep
you,
in
Faye.
Touch. Keep the faith.
Thanks for tuning in again. We've been the Penny More Toast, and we'll see you soon.
See
bye.
Soon.
Bye. He's been rising for the Penny More Toast.